I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Is unrivaled.
Yes!
Yes! The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
10 seconds remaining in the game. Burton looking for a screen. Drives right in the lane. Floats in the lane. Puts it up. It's blocked. Rebound controlled by Kennesaw State. No, it's grabbed by Sule Boom, and he got fouled on the play. And they will inbound. They'll get it to Robinson. He'll hoist up a three at the buzzer, and it's over. A scare for the third seed Xavier, but they finally survive. They knock off Kennesaw State 72-67.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to your Friday. It's Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We are at a very familiar locale, and we want you to come down and hang out. We've got some candy. We've got some what are these? Are these BYU and Utah school folders? What is this, a Trapper Keeper? Is that what this is? Are those folders for people to come get?
I haven't heard that name.
Trapper Keeper?
Trapper Keeper? Is that a Trapper Keeper?
See, but that's the thing is you're more of the era of the peachy folders that had those football players and stuff on them, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Those were awesome. We do have folders that we can give you. If you're a BYU fan or a Utah fan, come on and grab one. We're at the warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West, right here in Salt Lake. And it is so easy to get here now. You know, I think Tom and his crew have had to absolutely just live through the garbage traffic while they were rebuilding Third West here, and now it's a dream. So come down just east of Costco, just north of the Sam's Club here in Salt Lake City, and we'd love to just hang out with you, chat a little bit. We heard that clip at the top there. Xavier, it was a close one today, I guess, for a minute. I want to talk a little bit about kind of how our brackets are doing. Scott's going to probably take a moment to brag, but I think it's actually our show should brag, okay?
I need to brag while I can, though.
We got, yes.
It's going to fall off a cliff here.
Scott's points are limited, even though he had a relatively good day on the brackets. But I have a couple questions that have to do with March Madness, and maybe you can kind of help me from a sports psychology standpoint. So let's jump into the program. It's The Cut right here at the top of the show.
There we go. The Unquestion. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made The Cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right. The Cut presented by G2G Bars. All natural ingredients, no preservatives. G2G Bars. Perfect for anybody who needs that quick, tasty, nutritious boost. A protein bar that does not suck. A protein bar tastes amazing. Check it out. Fresh ingredients. There's a reason why they're in the refrigerated section at Costco. Associated Foods, Holiday Oil, Maverick. Grab one or a box today. All right. And Trajan Wealth. Also, your local trusted financial fiduciaries, 801-899-7600, 801-899-7600, or TrajanWealth.com. Scott.
Yes, sir.
How's your bracket?
So I have so far picked 15 of 18 correctly. I have 30 points. I am the third place person in the marketplace at this point.
Wait, in the marketplace, what does that mean?
In everyone who got onto our bracket.
Hey, look at you.
Yeah.
In the KSL Sports group.
I would be leading.
You would be leading, but you didn't feel like sending your bracket to Dallin.
No, I got it.
Didn't do your homework.
I got a message from Dallin.
What did Dallin say? He's going to do it?
He goes, he will shift it over.
Okay.
And the minute he shifts it over,
you'll be number one.
And I don't like you.
I'm going to
Jeremy, you're going to be excited. Because right now, I'm tied for first with Mitch Harper. We have 26. So I'm one game short of what you did so far out of the 18 games. I've got 14. But yeah, it's. It was a good day for Unrivaled overall. But, Scott, you picked Arizona to win the national championship, and so that sucks for you. But I will say, you tell me this, because I was just thinking about this. With Kennesaw State was a 13, and Xavier was a 4.
Yep.
And we had a 13-4 upset yesterday. Who benefits more from yesterday's results? When you watch a 15 upset somebody, a 13 upset somebody, and then we tune in and go, ooh, I can't wait to see what happens today. Which one of those groups responds more? Is it the lower seed that goes, hey, you guys, we got nothing to lose. Look what those guys did yesterday. Let's go beat the big. Let's go beat the big giant. Or do the big giants buckle down, look at each other, and go,
if you don't take care of business,
we will
die. Be in serious
I was honestly thinking, who took more heart yesterday? The teams who have all that that momentum, and they're a small school, they won their conference tournament, and they're just there, and everything's gravy, and they want to be a world beater. Or the teams who yesterday got to see Arizona fall, got to see Virginia fall, and their coach goes, special meeting tonight. You better wake the heck up, and we got to get this thing done. So who's more beneficial?
Well, it's actually a really good question, and I think that's the excitement of the tournament in general, is that these teams come in, and there's always upsets. Every year there's going to be upsets. It's not going to follow suit, and who's the higher rated player or team. So – I think if you're the underdog, you certainly go into a game with a lot of confidence to begin with, regardless of what happened yesterday. And the thing about basketball is it's not like you need 22 players like a football team.
Right.
You just need you might only need 3 guys, 3 really good guys, and you can go pretty far in a tournament, especially if you have a mismatch against some of the teams you're playing. They just don't match up well with them. I would think that, I would think it would probably be a better wake up call for the higher ranked teams, because I think those higher rated teams kind of go in. It's like, all right, if we just show up, we're going to win this game. Kind of attitude. It certainly looked that way when Arizona played. I mean, I think Arizona thought we've got this thing in the bag so far. And then what happens is you start looking down the road, who would be our next opponent. How do we get to the Sweet 16? And, where do we, what would we have to do to get to the Elite Eight? Your mind goes off somewhere where it shouldn't be. And that's where the only thing you can control is right now. And if you don't take care of your business today, there is no tomorrow. So I think these higher seeded teams have a likelihood of being more complacent in a first round matchup. And the underdog certainly, they go, we got nothing to lose. So
right.
So just in general, I think that, just the psychological makeup of it, kind of in some ways sounds weird, but it almost favors those underdog teams.
I do think that they're probably – I mean, you don't have to convince big programs to show up for these games. But sometimes – and I think there was a point made maybe during the – I think it actually was during the Furman game. The commentator said – the thing is when, the later in the game,
yes.
If this, because they're
it
told,
stays close.
That whole thing is like those
more
those,
pressure goes
yes,
on the
coaches just go, just keep us within 5 with a couple minutes left, because then
give us a chance to win the game at the end.
These guys start panicking, and everything gets weird, and then you see the Virginia guy throw the ball up in the air to nobody, and he loses the game for his team after a meltdown of massive proportions mentally. So
my daughter, when she was playing volleyball in high school, and they were playing some of these schools that had better teams, bigger mm-hmm. student bodies. They played Corner Canyon, Sky Ridge.
Yeah.
And they had better teams. I said, but what they don't have is they don't know how to kind of dig down deep and learn how to win games when they're behind, because they always win. And I said, if you get up on them early, all the pressure goes on them, and you're going to see them forcing things, panicking, and that and it's just human nature. You know, it's so hard because you go, wait, who is this team? Where do they come from? What? Wow, and you've had a complacent attitude to start with, and it's really hard for a lot of young, inexperienced people in competing to just turn it around. So, whoa, does Alex Carey have 34 points now? Is that what I'm getting?
I just want to point out that I have now taken the official lead.
Well, I'm not on there yet.
Albeit for a short amount of time.
Yeah.
So how many do you have?
I don't know. I haven't looked at it.
Open up your bracket.
I haven't looked at it
recently.
Well, no, I just – yeah. I'm trying to make a point.
You know,
here
it's crazy. I have 34 points, and I'm like, that's great. On the national level, there are people with 42 points. Yeah. You know, well, so in terms of how hard yesterday's day and then through today's picking has been, 180 brackets. No, is it 180? Yeah, it's 180 brackets out of 20 million are still perfect. Okay, and those will just get picked off one by one too. So I just want to say, how many points do you have?
I have 36.
Okay,
points.
So you still would be in the lead. We would be. We'd be.
So I'm trailing. That's a problem here. I'm holding. I'm a.
Jeremy,
sorry.
Listen. You're so stuck in your world of gambling that I don't understand. It's a dark, seedy place, and I'm not really sure what goes on in there. That I think that you may have gotten in your own head about.
So far today, I've picked every game right.
All right. See, did you hear that confidence? Your national champion is eliminated, bro.
I know. Look, I got to take this while I can get it. I got to be unrivaled. Happy and confident.
Unrivaled is doing well today.
Look,
day and a half into the tournament.
If I can play nine holes of golf, I'm good. It's the second
true.
Nine.
Oh, my gosh. I'm signed up to play golf tomorrow.
Oh, my.
Yeah, goodness. Man.
Yeah, I think you can do it.
We are.
But back to my point. It's like, so you get up on those teams that they always win. And so they really don't have the experience to, you know, play in a tough game, play in a game where, you know, it comes down to the wire, and they really panic. And it's not any attack on them. I'm not attacking Corner Canyon High School or Sky Ridge High School because they've won state championships in a whole lot of sports, and they're really good. And this has been a few years ago anyways. But the point is that when you get in a game and you're the underdog, if you keep it close in the end, the team that is the favored really, really has a hard time sealing the deal. I mean, because you just try too hard. You get out of your comfort zone. You forget the fundamentals. You forget why you're good, and you start doing stupid and dumb things, and that's when the underdog wins. I mean, I guarantee you Arizona today is just kicking themselves all over the place going, we had no business whatsoever in the world losing that game.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the Arizona coach last night said, and you have to have – I mean, that's just the hardest press conference to have, too. The guy who's getting paid, you know, in the – I would assume that Arizona's coach is probably making along the lines of $4 or $5 million a year coaching basketball. That's a storied program. They're always pretty dang good.
I'll
have to look it up. So that makes you have to answer the tough questions. Yeah. I felt bad for the kid. He shoved the camera.
Right.
You know, not like Dylan Brooks shoving the cameraman.
Yeah.
But another reason to hate that dude.
It looked like he was kind of just covering it up
definitely
a little bit.
Not, yeah.
But here's the thing that you got to remember, too. Mm-hmm. One team out of 64 is going to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
Those aren't really great odds even to start with. That you got a 1 in 64 chance to win. Not great odds because everything has to go your way. You've got to have a really solid team. You've got to play right. You got to get good matchups. Some buckets have to fall. You got to make some insane, crazy miracle shots on occasion to have it happen. Don Shula, who, of course, has more wins than anyone all time in the NFL.
Right.
You know how many wins he has in Super Bowls?
Two.
Two.
Yeah, yeah.
You know how many Super Bowls he was coached in?
Two.
Six.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
So he coached.
Some of those count with the Colts?
Coached in the 82 and 84 season with the Miami Dolphins.
Uh-huh.
Lost. Lost to Washington. Lost to the 49ers. Then he coached two with the Colts.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So he won two of them. That's not bad.
So he lost to Dallas, and he lost to Joe Namath. Think of losing. Talk about an underdog game. Think of the Jets were the first AFC team to win a Super Bowl, and how everyone was like, the NFC is such a better conference, so superior. Mm-hmm. And Shula, who won more games than anyone, he was a coach that lost the most, probably the most embarrassing Super Bowl loss of maybe anyone's, you know.
Was he the offensive coordinator for that Colts team, or was he the head coach?
He was the head coach.
He was. Okay.
Yeah, he was
so dang young. Yeah. It's like he walked right off the field when during his playing days.
He was 34 years old when he started the head coaching.
Was Johnny Unitas older than he was? I felt like at that point, like he might have
been close. But the point is that sports is unpredictable. It's hard. It's and you get in these tournaments where the added pressure of if you don't win the game, you go home, and that weighs on people. And some people respond to it, and some people don't. And it's just funny and fascinating. This is to me the reason I love to watch these games is to see how these people handle pressure and how it impacts them. Because some people, they're totally oblivious to it. They don't care. They don't realize they're not supposed to be doing what they're doing, and they go out and do it. And it's awesome to watch, and you cheer for that. You go, yes, I want to pull for those guys because they're supposed to lose.
Tommy Lloyd, by the way, who is the head coach of Arizona basketball. They lost that game yesterday to Princeton, of course. Only the 11th 15 seed to ever unseat a 2 seed. Here's what's crazy. This is the third tournament in a row that a 15 seed has beaten a 2 seed. And the last two, and the two before that, both of those 15 seeds who won their first round game went to the Sweet 16 too.
And poor Virginia. You know what I mean? I mean,
like Tony Bennett, you could have a real argument. That guy brought a national championship to that place, but you could have a real argument that Tony Bennett should just be fired for a loss to a 16 seed and a loss to a 13 seed. does a national championship wipe that away?
Of course it does. Yeah. I mean, but that's the point. You know, that here's a team that's won a national championship.
I'm not saying another one. I'm saying the one that he had in the middle.
Right. But they've been ousted as well. And what sports does for people, and if you're a parent out there and wondering whether your kids should be in sports, is you're going to fail. You participate in sports and you're going to fail. And everyone who's been a part of it, even the greatest of greats, they've all failed. But how do you handle it? How are you motivated by it? And a lot of times the teams, the players that are really great, the coaches that are really great are so much more fueled after they've had defeat and bitter defeat, and just, you know, they don't put their tail between their legs. They don't feel sorry for themselves. They go back to work, you know, and they get back in the gym in basketball's case, and they work harder. They work with more focus, more purpose. They have more respect for just the opportunity to play and compete. And you learn so much about yourself playing sports. You really do. And one of the great things is learning how to handle defeat and how do you handle it. And, you know, you talk about some people don't handle it well, shoving your hand in the face of the camera or, you know, learning how to be motivated by failure, but losing with some dignity and winning with some grace.
But I think that his press conference is pretty good. I felt bad for the kids. You know, they get in those kids' faces and, you know, a lot of these guys don't have NIL deals and they miss a bad shot at the end, and the camera's in their face, and that's just the pressure that happens.
But is Arizona basketball really suffering?
No. That's what I'm saying is that, and Tommy Lloyd knows that, the head coach. He got there. He got on the podium, and I was listening to him last night, and he goes, "Look, I'd love to get up here and tell you that we were, you know, there were a lot of problems in that game. Some of it was self-inflicted, but a lot of it was the fact that Princeton was a really freaking good basketball team, and we did not." We didn't honor that. Like we didn't give that enough weight because. And you might say, well,
Princeton D'd him up, man.
I guarantee every 15 seed or every 2 seed, 2 seeded team, the coach doesn't go, "Hey, I want to start working on tape for the next round." No one does that. All these coaches, every kid knows that there's a possibility you could get upset, but you know what happens is like really how much you take it to heart, and then really at the end of the game. I mean, I watched Jay Billis. People were roasting him today because Jay Billis on ESPN had picked Arizona just like you to win the national championship. And the way he talked about him through each round was, there's just no team better equipped for this tournament. That score with such ease. Their big men run like crazy, and they play such frenetic defense and all that. And then you're looking, oh, they just – all they do, their offense is beyond elite – You know, and all I'm thinking the whole time is 56 points, bro, against Princeton. And the coach goes, you got to step in shiz every once in a while in life to figure out that, you know. You got to step in poopy periodically.
That's from Ted Lasso.
There it is. Yeah. Coach, why are we down here with the poopy?
Poopy.
And that's what it was. He's like, hey, how are you going to handle it? Let it flow past you. That's a little Ted Lasso lesson for you.
But Arizona, I guarantee you, Arizona wins that game against Princeton. I'll bet it just propels them because if they survive a game like that.
If they would have won that game by 1 point.
They would be like, we are lucky and we got to buckle down here.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Okay.
It's 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
What's up, everybody? It's Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, and we are here at the warehouse. And I'm just, you know, I'm really, you know, the whole weekend is just so much fun for that first weekend of the NCAA tournament. I just get so pumped. And the thing is, years ago, I've just given into the fact that bracketology is like it's just a freaking crapshoot. And I tell myself that every year, but like I actually believe it now. And I know I'm in the lead, I guess, on the KSLSports.com bracket challenge. I mean, it's fine. But I know it won't last
Mine's
long.
Mine's being switched over.
Yeah, until that gets transferred over to our bank account, I'm not believing it. Yeah. So
well, it's been wired, so it should get here. Before,
it should get here by Tuesday.
No, but it's wired
okay.
Before 3 o'clock.
Okay,
it should show up
all right. So we were talking a little bit about the Big 12, you know, the Big 12, Pac 12 stuff. I think it's funny because it's like, does the Big 12 really, like, does it matter? Does the Big 12 get affected in any way by how the Pac 12's deal gets done? You know, we talked about some of the numbers we've been throwing around.
Okay, the only thing I think impacts any of it. And this is what my concern was. If everyone has a deal right now, Big 12, Big 10, SEC, ACC, if all four of those have a deal right now, they're not going to be out poaching new teams because their deals are what? For 5-7 years, right? It's not going to be for a while. So if you're the Pac-12, you don't really have to worry about a team leaving, you would think. However, in the Big 10, the Big 12's agreement, there's a clause in there for the potential of expansion. So it allows them to continue to go out and pursue teams. That's the only thing that makes me nervous. Otherwise, I wouldn't be nervous. I wouldn't even care. But it sounds like a deal's going to get done. And you know what? I appreciate that. You know why I appreciate it? Because we've been talking about it, right? And guess what? It's caused a response, didn't it? You know, Mark Harlan, the athletic director at the University of Utah, says, now hold on just a second here. And he said, look, we're going to get a deal done. Great. That's all we want to know.
Right.
Awesome. I'm glad.
What was the thing we read today,
and
too?
That they're all unified and that it's going to be a good deal. That it's not just, hey, let's just get it done, but it's going to be a significant deal, probably a little bit outside the box, unique, forward thinking. And I think that's exciting for everyone because it's you know, looking to the future. I mean, if you're any school in the ACC right now, I'd be sad and miserable for the next 10 years. I mean, it's a horrendous deal that they have right now.
So, yeah, and it doesn't get much better. And it's not like the teams in their conference are getting much better either, I guess, you know, all on top of that. I do want to say something the Big 12 is doing. They just partnered with the NFL. This is an interesting thing. And I think to myself, why haven't other people tried to do this? But the Big 12 and the NFL have partnered up for like a full on Big 12 Pro Day.
Yes.
So Pro Days are interesting because, you know, they have it. It's at the school. In Utah's case, their Pro Day is going to be, what, the 23rd? And a bunch of people are going to show up, and there's going to be a bunch of scouts there. This one has a unique feel to it because it's basically a mini combine featuring the Big 12 guys, right?
Right. So my initial blush was, you know who wins in this?
The NFL.
Yeah. The NFL and the conference.
Big time.
So if you're – what's great about having your pro day is that you control the narrative. Like if you have – so you have your guys, you have your environment, you're in a place that's comfortable to you, and you would expect to be able to showcase, you know, the very best side of yourself. And I get a little hesitant. I think it's – I mean, what they're trying to do here is give these players maximum exposure. So you think of, you know, BYU that's had their pro day. Their pro day is going to basically be a national experience. So the players, regardless of what happens to them, are actually going to be showcased in a rather significant way. And I would think – having the pro day, there's probably going to be stories that they're going to create, and they're going to highlight these players, and they're really going to put a lot of focus on them. And that's part of the whole deal is to really give these players the most exposure that they could potentially have. Does a pro day make or break? Yeah, I'll tell you, it really does. I know that there have been players who have gone straight to the head of the class because of their pro day.
Really?
Yeah, well, Jeff George, my year. Jeff George, they said, hey, drop back and throw the ball as far as you can. He dropped back and threw it 80
yards. Zach Wilson was already pretty highly rated, but the couple throws he made at his pro day, like, became viral videos.
Yeah, right. And that's the thing. Jeff George dropped back, threw the ball 80 yards, and they go, this is the number one pick in the draft. And I guarantee you the viral nature of Zach Wilson's pro day, which I didn't really think was all that spectacular, made him – the second pick in the draft. I think what helped him, and maybe this is what might help some of these players, is that a team goes, you know, this guy's not hidden anymore. Like we thought we had this player, you know, no one was really paying attention to him. He's no longer a secret. And so then they get paranoid that someone's going to jump up in the draft and steal this player. And maybe the Jets didn't, you know, maybe they did. Maybe they didn't want to get Zach Wilson. I don't know. Maybe the 49ers wanted him. Maybe they, you know, but there's the exposure is going to create a buzz and an excitement and some leverage for these players that maybe they wouldn't typically have. But the downside, though, really is, Alex, it's the combine nature of it, and you don't really totally control, because you're going to go to a neutral site. You know, you're going to go to where the conference says, and that still is, you're not sleeping in your own bed. You got to sleep in a hotel. You know, it's a different deal.
I do think that, this type of an idea is great, because the other thing it does is it creates buzz for the conference. Another big winner is the conference itself. You have definitely something that is TV worthy, because it's a football thing in the off season that has more than one team there. And it, you know, in this case, I would imagine, I didn't see where they're doing it. It has to be at Jerry World, right?
So yeah,
or somewhere. It's at the Cowboys practice. Yeah,
it's going to be in Texas, but here's the thing. And that's a really good point, Alex, because every kid that comes out of high school, you know what he thinks he is? An NFL player. They do.
And the coaches have to kind of let them know, maybe you are.
They don't quash that dream.
Right. They keep it going.
And so you go, look, you know, in the Big 12 conference, here's how big we do it as far as a pro days for guys. And, you know, we expect you to be at that pro day where, you know, you're going to have national exposure. Yeah. It's a good move by the Big 12 for anything other than just it will give the whole conference a recruiting boost.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. When we do, we are going to have our weekend. What are the odds around the corner? Men, Reed Medical is Utah's only physician-owned and operated wellness clinic offering ED treatments that are discreet, non-invasive, and customized for you. So check it out. Go to their website. It's just remedical.com, remedical.com. Renew, restore, reclaim. Visit remedical.com. All right, we'll come back. We have more to go around the corner. Our weekend, what are the odds next? Stay with us, 97.5 EKSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold.
Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
All in, baby!
You'll know exactly. More or less. What's going to happen? This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We try to bring you the closest games we can and bring them to you. Number 11 Pitt is beating Iowa State by 20 points right now. That's an 11 beating a 6 by 20 points. We can't even bring you that game. It's not close enough. The 11 is going to get the upset, and it's not even that close. So UConn is trailing Jeremy's Iona Gales.
Yeah, they are.
Jeremy, of course, attended school there for a couple of years before he was kicked out for what I assume was a gambling ring that he was running.
No. That's what I'm legally allowed to say. So
my lawyers won't let me say anymore. Xavier got the win over Kennesaw State today. By 5. That was a little bit dicey. Michigan State took care of business against USC. The Pac-12 team's not looking too sharp right now. But Iowa State going to fall to Pitt. Looks like that's a minute left in that one. Jeremy, is the Creighton-NC State game getting close enough to where we think we can take that last minute here? What do you think?
No, it's 69-61 Creighton with about a minute left. So they hit a big three and a dunk.
8-point game. Okay, mm-hmm. There you go.
Not anymore.
Well, that's good. I have Creighton. I have Creighton going to the Elite Eight, so I need this. I need this game. And then I also had Pitt winning this game over Iowa State. So I'm going to be in a pretty good spot here after everything. My goal by the end of the day is to surpass Scott, but for us as a show to still be in first and second place. We could still do that.
We could do that.
Yes. All right. Let me see here. What are the odds goes like this, Scott? I bring you a scenario. You give me a 0 to 100% chance that thing will or will not happen. There are double-digit seeds playing on Saturday so far. We might have a couple more that get added to this thing for Saturday and Sunday. What are the odds that that these double-digit seeds, that we see two double-digit seeds go to the Sweet 16 from this weekend? So two you've got Furman, you've got Princeton. San Diego State's got a game against Penn State that might be pretty difficult. And then, you know, Missouri is going to face the winner of or Missouri is, you know, facing Princeton. You don't want to mess with that that tiger.
That juggernaut.
No. That offensive outpouring that you get.
Isn't that Tigers versus Tigers?
Princeton. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But, like, you get the tiger that Mizzou has in its logo looks a lot meaner than the – I think the Princeton Tigers look studying. It like, has, like, glasses on.
Has glasses.
I think it's more of like a Tony the Tiger.
So what are the odds at two?
What are the odds that two double-digit teams end up in the Sweet 16 from this
weekend? Yeah, that's two is a lot. I could see one. Sweet 16, yeah, I mean, I think that's a little
Did you get added?
I got added.
Scott's officially in the lead now for the bracket challenge on KSLSports.com.
I'm the winner.
Oh, yeah, are you? Your national champion got eliminated last night, brother.
I'm the winner of the first quarter.
Get out of here. Yeah, so.
I think it's relatively low.
Okay.
I'm going to go with 33% since it's basketball. Larry Legend, 33%.
Okay. I'm going to go with I like the idea of a couple of double-digit teams going to the Sweet 16.
I mean, I like the idea. But
I do, too. I don't know if it's going to happen.
33% is like
– this would be the third tournament in a row that the 15 seed goes to a 16, ooh, goes to a Sweet 16. That's insane. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Magic Johnson was 32, right? Well, was he 32 at Michigan State too?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I'll go with you said Larry, so I'm going to go with the Magic Johnson 32% right. chance.
That was a good matchup too.
Yeah.
By the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what put the NBA on the map.
It's really what made the tournament
March Madness.
Because
that game.
They were going that transition from the NIT to the NCAA tournament over that kind of crossover of a decade or so.
Yep.
And that's when the tournament became something else.
Yeah.
That game was played right here in Salt Lake City, by the way.
It was, yes.
Yeah.
University of Utah.
There you go.
What else you got for me?
I got this one. What are the odds that Bryce Young gets taken over C.J. Stroud by the Panthers for that number one pick? There are rumors that they actually might favor Bryce Young. What on earth?
Well, he was the guy that most people thought was the top-rated quarterback in the draft. And, you know, he probably has a little bit more of that, like, dual threat, you know, where he can run and he can throw. And so, and you know, he played at Alabama and he played in a lot of big games and was Heisman Trophy winner, national champion type of thing. So I'm going to say that he probably, I don't know, he's just so small.
Yeah.
Serious. And it's one thing to
But that wasn't a shock. We've heard all those guys
shocked by it, but he just doesn't to me look like, even though he's a smaller guy, has a stout body.
You know what I think you're affected by? You watched C.J. Stroud in that 2022 Rose Bowl.
Well, you watched the throws, and
I was there too.
There's a whole lot of NFL throws in that game.
Absolutely,
a whole lot of NFL throws.
I'm going to go with a Magic Johnson and Michigan State 33% chance.
So he was 33.
He was 33
at
also.
State.
Yes.
So he couldn't be 33. He couldn't be the.
No, isn't that wild?
Isn't Kareem 33? I think Kareem was 33.
He was. I think that's why he didn't.
He
get
had to
the,
switch
the number.
To 32.
Yeah. Went to 32.
Captain.
So that 33 is actually up in the rafters at Michigan State for Magic Johnson.
I wouldn't be surprised if it happened. I'll give it Greg Bingham, 54%, former Houston Oiler. I'll bet Jeremy knows that number.
Does he?
Yeah.
Jeremy seems like the Oiler fan that knows who Earl Campbell is and
Dan Pastorini.
And that's about it.
Warren Moon, come on.
Johnson.
Warren Moon to one, right?
Kenny Burrow.
Yeah.
Kenny Burrow, he's double zero.
Okay. All right. There's your What Are the Odds for the Weekend. Joining us on the program now.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes. Yes.
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back. It is 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keurig, Scott Mitchell, it's your Friday. So when I was a kid, I was in third grade. I was in a reading group because I had like some... They were worried I had dyslexia. And sometimes it creeps up on me again.
Yeah.
I didn't have dyslexia. I didn't pay attention very much. So that was my third grade.
So you didn't have dyslexia, you just had
no,
like,
you know what happened? I turned a corner.
Attention deficit disorder.
Listen, I turned a corner. I learned to love books. So I started reading a lot more when you're like in that third, fourth grade range, and the rest is history. And I love history books, by the way, too. But something popped up on my computer and it said something about the market being bullish. And I thought it was like, dude, the market this week has been bull. Like, I thought it was
you thought it was
BS. And because I kind of agreed. And I think in my head, I was like, yeah, the market has been kind of BS this week. Man, it was crap. No, bullish. Bullish.
So bull-ish. You just have bad eyesight.
Well, I was like staring at the
group. Are you trying to wish something into
No, I just didn't know. I didn't
existence.
Know what it was. I didn't know what was going on. So the market is bullish. It's not BS.
Yes.
Okay? Our brackets are bullish, by the way.
We're doing okay.
Scott and I are both still. Scott's in the lead,
okay.
And I'm in a solid second place. I'm in a solid number two for the station.
I'm number one. You're number two.
There you go. Okay. So I wanted to kick everything off here with our guy Ben Anderson, our Jazz insider for KSLSports.com. Ben, we can only do victory laps like when we can take them. A day and a half into the NCAA tournament is not usually when people do, like, you know, they don't win their bracket on these first day and a half. But we'll take, you know, Scott and I will take the miniature victory of this. How's your bracket doing?
Poorly for the first couple of days, but I think 14 of my sweet 16 teams are still around. All of my elite 8 teams are still around, so we're okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, see, it's a long game. It's a marathon, not a sprint. So that's where we are. I walked into the studio today and you guys were talking about this and the brackets are dumb. I just don't even think about, I mean, they're not dumb. I don't think about them. If I get too caught up in it, you can convince yourself of anything in March Madness. And so this is what I like about the NBA is that, like, teams, when you watch these games, I definitely watch the college game, and you tell me if this is different for you because you see way more basketball on the pro level than we do, probably watch a lot more than we do. There is a massive disparity in the college and the pro game. What's the biggest difference between the NBA and a college guy if somebody is – or in a college, like, you know, game that you watch? What do you see as the biggest differences?
Well, unfortunately, it's the size is kind of the main thing. I mean, most of the guards in college are 6'1", 6 feet tall, some guys even smaller. And that is a huge part of it. And honestly, it just makes the game harder when you're that small. And then when you play against these bigger teams, which I think Utah State ran into yesterday with Missouri, you just see how big that gap is, the ability to get easy shots, get rebounds, et cetera. But now the NBA really is so skilled at every position that basically every player has to be able to do, or at least threaten to be able to do everything on the floor, pass, shoot, and dribble, and then defend multiple positions. And still, I think with a really good post player in college, you're probably going to be okay. You'll probably survive even if you don't have, you know, a truly elite floor spacing big. And in fact, some of those floor spacing bigs, look at Brandon Carlson for the Utes, don't have the same impact in college that they could at the next level, where he might have a chance to go and make an NBA team and be a pretty good player. And don't get me wrong, he was Utah's best player this year, but not good enough to, you know, get them to the tournament, for example.
So I'm leading in this bracket challenge right now. But I'm going to fall off the cliff pretty soon because I picked Arizona to win the national championship, and, well, they lost.
That's fine.
So I need another way of watching March Madness, and I really like this article that you wrote about potential prospects that the Jazz have or could you know, probably want.
At least give it a gander,
and,
right?
And at least it gives me something to watch, you know. So now I've become a scout for the Utah Jazz, so – so what are some of the players that the Jazz potentially could have, and where are they in this tournament?
Yeah, the first guy I would really key in on, and he actually won yesterday, so there's a chance you're going to get to see him make a deep run, is Grady Dick. He plays for Kansas, about 6'7" wing, really shoots the ball well, super athlete. I mean, he's just going to be a good NBA player. He's a relatively safe pick, and I think that's why you like him. But he's also not so safe that he doesn't have any upside. Sometimes we use safe, meaning they don't really have a chance to get to that next level. I think he actually does have quite an opportunity to grow still, as he's just a freshman. So that's the biggest name I would key in on, because I think he has an opportunity to be there for the Jazz wherever they're picking, 10 or 11. If Kansas plays particularly well, I think he could really rise up some draft boards, and that's always – you know, that's always dangerous. But I've got an article at KSLSports.com where I wrote about eight players, that are going to have a chance to be there on the board for the Jazz. Some of them are as high as, you know, Brandon Miller, who could end up going number two overall from Alabama. We'll see what happens with him. Alabama's one of the favorites, obviously, to make the championship game, and he might be the best player in college basketball, but he has his off-the-court issues, including delivering the gun that was used to kill somebody a couple of months ago. So that's just a hideous story. But, unfortunately, Chris Murray from Iowa got eliminated in the first round yesterday. That's a guy who I would keep an eye on, who might be a little bit more in that Ochai Agbaji-type player, who wasn't very good his first 2 years in the NBA and then really exploded this year in his third season, and is big and can shoot, and that's kind of what I think I would expect Danny Ainge to look for. I wouldn't really look at a lot of small guards for Danny Ainge, even though there's a few of those names that have been mentioned. Arkansas has a couple of kids as well that have an opportunity. They advanced Nick Smith Jr. and Anthony Black. So there's certainly some guys to key in on.
As you kind of get closer to the draft, and of course the thing that gets you closer to the draft is the end of the basketball season, this Jazz team's got quite a hill to climb over the next few weeks. Very difficult games, and starting with this weekend with a very difficult opponent coming into town, the Boston Celtics. What are the next... I guess, is it 13 games left or 12 games left for this Jazz team? How do they fare over these? What's the best version of how they fare over these next 13 games? And should we just kind of throw away the idea of the possibility of being in the play-in and being in the playoffs?
No, I think it's certainly still possible. And, in fact, you know, what happens tomorrow night against Boston? I think Friday you play Milwaukee. Those are the types of games where if you I don't want to say accidentally win one of those games, but if you win one of those games, all of a sudden, you know, you could jump from being, you know, the ninth pick in the league to the 10th seed in the West. It's that tight together. And when you've got a couple of tiebreakers like you do over the Lakers and you do over the New Orleans Pelicans at this point in the season, it gets a little dicey. If you want to miss the playoffs, it could be tricky if you win one or two games that you weren't expecting. And you look, Milwaukee last night lost to Indiana, and Indiana's not a very good team. Boston lost to Houston a couple of nights ago, and it's just 5-5 in its last 10. So these games that you may have chalked up as a loss are anything but guarantees at this point in the season, because teams are tired, guys are hurt. Some teams just have changed their attention to focus on the playoffs, and they just want to get there healthy, so they're going to rest guys more than usual, as long as they're happy to have home court advantage in the first round or second round. That might be enough for some of these teams. So we don't really know exactly what to expect. They're only a half game back of both the Lakers and the Thunder for the 10th and the 9th seed in the West. So it's all out there on the table. And at the same point, they're only two games ahead of the Portland Trail Blazers for what would be, I think, the 6th or the 7th pick in the draft. So if you lose to Boston tonight, you lose to Sacramento on Monday, which wouldn't shock anybody, and then you lose to Portland, I think it's Wednesday, all of a sudden, maybe you've been jumped in that group. Maybe you are in the 6th or 7th spot in the NBA overall, and you're really looking at getting a good draft pick. And then maybe you start looking at, hey, it's not in your best intention at that point to try and climb back to get to the 10th spot or the 11th spot because you hurt your draft stock so significantly. So this four-game homestand, I think, is going to tell us a lot. If they somehow find a way to go, 2-2 or even 3-1, I think the playoffs become a lot more realistic. If they lose 3 out of 4, I think you really start to look at their draft stock.
Earlier you talked about these players that are, can improve their draft chances through a solid tournament. How big of an impact is that? I mean, how significant, how much weight do NBA teams place on playing really well in the March Madness tournament?
I do think recency bias always matters. I think we've seen, historically guys who have big tournament runs end up getting drafted high, and sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. Kemba Walker led UConn to the title and a great run to the Big East and ended up being I can't remember where he was, but he was certainly top 10 and has been a very good NBA player, had an all-star career. Derek Williams with Arizona got him to the championship game and, was a bum after his second season in the league. He just, but guys drafted him because he was big and he dominated that stretch. So that happens certainly. I think we probably see it a little bit less than we used to. But recency bias and winning at the biggest stage is always going to be appealing. Darren Williams helped his draft stock a ton. Trey Burke helped his draft stock a ton. So there's not that, it's not like we have to go that deep into the past to find examples where guys have helped their draft stock by performing well. And some of it's rightfully so. At this point, you're playing against the best competition you will during your college career. The stars generally do tend to shine at this point. And we've seen runs where guys like Gordon Hayward is a good example, who really improved his draft stock with Butler's run in the postseason and then ended up being a really good player as a result. So there are examples of guys proving at the biggest stage, C.J. McCollum's another good one, that can translate to NBA success. But you probably don't want to move him from 30th on your draft board to 2nd, to 4th. I think that's when you really start to get yourself in trouble. But if a guy moves himself from, maybe he was 20 to number 10, or example, I brought up Grady Dick, who may be 10 or 11, maybe he moves up to 7, that's probably a little bit better information.
Steph Curry is one of those guys, too. Who I think I was introduced to Steph Curry, and you're watching him wearing a Davidson jersey, and you're going, I don't know who this kid is, but he shoots the freaking lights out. Jimmer Fredette benefited a massive amount and ended up probably, being overvalued for what he had done. Now, he won also the Naismith Award, so that also adds to it. But I think when these guys have tournaments, it just solidifies. There are some GMs who love that, and they go, well, they've run the gauntlet of pressure. So maybe that will translate over into the NBA level. So, I think people just like picking these draft picks, who knows what you're going to get. Greg Odom, you think about these guys who ended up being bust, but were extremely good college basketball players, and you just didn't know they were going to absolutely fall flat. This Jazz team, interesting stretch over the next week. They're going to play Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. So they have 4 games next week as opposed to the 1 that they had, and they play again on Saturday. It's a frenetic time of year. What has Will Hardy learned to this point, 70-ish games into the season?
Well, I think you're still seeing some of the rookies come into their own a little bit. Ochai Agbaji, you look at how prolific he's become of a shooter over his last 7 games, 8 games nine games, something like that. I mean, he's averaging almost 7 threes a game, which, considering he couldn't get on the floor his first 3 months of his career, to now really hoisting up a lot of shots, and he's not making them with great consistency, but he's able to be that type of prolific shooter. I think you get a little better sense, not just of, hey, are you an NBA player or not, but, hey, what type of role are you going to have in the league? You know, Simone Fontecchio over the last six games has gone from, ooh, this guy doesn't look like a player at all, to, hey, this guy might be one of the better shooters in the NBA that, you know, can get really hot really quickly. And maybe he's not a star, maybe he's not a, you know, regular rotation player, but every team seems to have, you know, two guys on their roster that if you need a change of pace for somebody who can come in and shoot shots and make threes for 5 to 10 minutes, he can really do that. And that might be his saving grace. So I think there's certainly still a lot to learn, especially from the young guys. But, you know, Chris Dunn's been a terrific story for the Jazz over the last couple of weeks and has earned himself a longer NBA career because he's made the most of this opportunity. And on the flip side, you know, Frank Jackson probably hasn't. And that's where these games are still valuable.
You know, speaking of Chris Dunn, and, you know, I think of all the players on the Jazz this year and the ones on the roster right now, which player has benefited the most from the season? You look at Lauri Markkanen, who turned into an all-star, and you mentioned Chris Dunn was a 10-day guy who turned into a two-year deal. It's not guaranteed, but still. So who do you think, which player has benefited the most from this season and this experience with the Jazz?
I mean, Markkanen's probably legitimately made himself $100 million in the last 70 games, which is a pretty insane thing to say. But, yeah, he went from being a good player and maybe what we thought was the second-best player in this rotation to a guy who's going to get a max contract. You know, whether he, you know, has a down year next year, 2 years from now, I think we're going to look back at a guy who started on an all-star team and is going to be worthy of six figures and maybe, you know, high six figures. I mean, maybe he gets up close to $200 million, depending on what he can qualify for at that point. So that's a huge, huge jump for him. And then you really look over the last few games, and I'll be curious what Talen Horton-Tucker can continue to do. He had a great four-game stretch. Really, I thought, had a poor game in Miami. But as long as Colin Sexton's out and now Jordan Clarkson has missed the last few games, he's getting a bigger opportunity, and his game is so unique and his skill set so different that the Jazz might be willing to continue to invest in him a little bit more. And, you know, he's got a player option on his deal next year, which he's almost certainly going to pick up. I don't think he's done enough to earn more than the $10 million that he's owed, but the Jazz may say, well, if you've got that guy, do you need to keep Jordan Clarkson around, especially if his price tag is up around, you know, $100 million for four seasons or $70 million for three seasons. Those are the types of differences that we've started to see late in the season and guys who have had a big impact this year.
Ben Anderson, enjoy your weekend, man. Looking forward to the coverage over the weekend. It's actually going to be nice to have some freaking Jazz games over the next few days. Hang in there, man, and thanks for being with us, dude.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Yep,
there
thanks,
you go.
Ben
Anderson. Ben's so freaking smart, man. I love that.
Yeah, and I'm so fascinated with all these different players that have, you know, showcased with the Jazz and really kind of risen to the occasion and who fits and where they fit and
sure.
Do they continue to develop. I don't know, it's just fascinating to me. I've loved this year with the Utah Jazz, and I'm just befuddled that I do. And it's just turned out.
I didn't even think
this was comprehensible what's happened. Being able to watch the Jazz this year.
Do you think Lauri Markkanen sat down with his wife and goes, if I play hard, I could earn us $100 million this year. But that's likely the number we're talking about.
Yeah.
Just an amazing max deal. And for a guy who, like, do you see him slowing down anytime? Like, does his game suddenly become?
No, I mean, because he's young and you just see his game's evolved.
Yeah.
Go back and watch him playing for the Cleveland Cavaliers or the Chicago Bulls, and you just go, his game is different. It's very different today, and they've identified what his game is, and they're identifying what his game needs to get to, and you're seeing that this year, and it's fascinating to watch. But you know, so much of it is just keep playing. You know, just keep playing. Find ways. You know, he went over this last summer, and that was a big deal for him playing. Like he did, and that
sure.
Really changed things for him, and it gave the Jazz an opportunity to watch him and go, wait a minute, we see something here that, and had he not been playing over the summer, and it would have, you know, they wouldn't have seen that, and who knows where he'd be today.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled. with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for being with us on a Friday, getting you into the weekend here. We are in full swing when it comes to spring football down in Provo, and it's just, I mean, I'm having a good time because every year I tell myself I'm not going to get too, I'm not going to get too excited about news coming out of spring ball. It's spring ball. But yet every year I find myself going, man, you can get excited if you're a fan. And right now joining us from practice, walking off the practice field right now, BYU's tight end, Isaac Rex on the program. Thanks for being with us, Isaac.
No, of course. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so are you guys a little bit the same way where, I mean, you're going in now and you're like veteran, and this is like another spring for you, but there seems to be a different energy. Explain that maybe this year for the 2023 season, what spring looks like.
Yeah, this is a full-blown tackling, head-up, one-on-ones, you know, a lot of team, long periods. Like, they're not messing around here anymore, you know. It's like we're going into Big 12 territory. We know what we're getting ourselves into, and so we're copying exactly what they're doing. And so, yeah, these practices are intense, a lot of guys flying around, a lot of tackling. And so it's been fun so far. Hopefully we just stay healthy and keep everyone safe, but – yeah, it's definitely been an intense spring ball. Definitely the most intense I've been a part of.
So, obviously, when you get, you know, new coaches in on the defensive side of the ball, and then you guys have to face off against that, what's the emphasis been from Jay Hill? Like, what have you seen from all those new defensive coaches? As you said, you guys are all hitting and you're actually tackling, and it's like a full-blown deal getting you guys ready for big-time football. So, but what is that difference that you've seen? Like, I know that the intensity of Jay Hill is already being, you know, publicized highly. They're going 100%, so how is it to face a Jay Hill defense right now?
Yeah, so obviously for all the defensive guys, they're trying to impress the defensive coaches. And so the offensive guys don't want to be embarrassed by the defensive coaches going hard. And so it's literally 100% of the time. So we're going at each other. And obviously Jay Hill's a great motivator. He's a great man, but he's a really good coach. I think the scheme is really, really good. And we're seeing a lot of different looks at, on the offensive end. And obviously the defense is, you know, mixing it up every single practice. And so it's been fun to see and fun to play against. And these guys are, yeah, they're definitely, I wouldn't say out for blood right now, but they're motivated.
Yeah, this balance of trying to keep you guys on the field and healthy and everything must be, it must keep them a little like insane, but at the same time, you don't want to not prep. And so we were looking at, you know, speaking of veterans, and you think about the defensive side of the ball and all the new guys with headsets on, all these new coaches in their position groups. And then you guys on the offensive side of the ball, it's not old hat, but it's the same group of guys. What have, I guess, from Coach Clark to Fessy to A-Rod, what are they doing differently in year, you know, six now, I guess seven now for these guys since they're going in? What are they doing differently that you got? Because it seems like they're always trying to improve themselves. But what's a BYU offense now with this coaching staff who's been there for a long time and have tried a lot of different things?
I wouldn't say the offensive side has changed very much. I think we've had a lot of success in the past couple of years, starting in 2020 and 2019. You know, ever since A-Rod and Grimes were here, you know, it's been, I think it's similar. I don't think, if it's not broke, you know, don't fix it. Right. I feel kind of mentality with the offense. And obviously A-Rod's experienced offensive coordinator, has been doing it for many years. And, yeah, we have Fessy and Coach Clark and Coach Funk and Harvey. They all are keeping the same mentality we've been keeping, is to put points on the board. And so there's not a whole lot of changes, I would say, on the offense, but we're definitely trying to match the mentality of the defense of, you know, going hard in practice and trying to compete.
Keaton Slovis comes in, and obviously that's been a major, you know, story point during the spring because we're desperate to see anybody new, right? You kind of look around, but then especially if it's at the quarterback position, let's hear how you guys have been adjusting to him. He's been adjusting to you because there's been, you know, snippets that we get to see in some of the observations of practice. But, you know, what's the story in the huddle with Keaton Slovis and what he's been so far as he's been on campus?
He's been great, man. He's picked up the offense super well, super efficiently, and he's been, you know, throwing dots, and that's what we saw at USC and Pitt, and that's what he's been doing here. And so Keaton's been, he's been killed in practice, and we've been able to connect on some balls, me personally and him with the receivers, and it's just been fun to play with him. And obviously he has a long legacy of great BYU quarterbacks, you know, behind him, and even recently with Zach and Jaron. And so I think he's going to fit in so well with this offense, and he's going to step in right away, and I don't think there'll be many learning curves for him.
It's good to have that veteran kind of person in the huddle, someone who's been in big games before as you guys go into the Big 12. Let's go back to, I guess, when we chatted with you at Media Days last year, there was a noticeable limp as you were going from kind of booth to booth, and we were asking kind of what a timeline was, and I think your coaches and you sort of played it coy a little bit. Maybe we weren't totally I guess we weren't ready to hear that you were thinking about getting back for game one against South Florida. And when you went onto the field, I think we were all pretty shocked. How did you balance that, like not wanting to, like wanting to play, obviously, but making sure that you were taking care of yourself? And how did that process work in those 6 weeks to where you were back on the field and catching footballs again?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a process, and it started ever since I, you know, got the injury. And that was always my goal. I wanted to be out there for game one. And I know there's people that, and doctors saying I wouldn't play for a year, and that would mean I'd be out for the whole season. But that was my goal ever since I got the injury, and that was what I wanted to accomplish. And it was just a cool experience, even though it was a painful experience. It was a good experience for me to know that I can overcome challenges and overcome hardships and, overcome the naysayers, so to say, if that makes sense. And so for me to be out there game one was awesome. Obviously, I wasn't 100% initially, but I feel like as the season went on, I progressively was getting better from the strength staff and from the trainers at BYU. And so and now this year, I'm excited to, you know, play 100%. I'm excited to, you know, give it one last go at BYU.
Tell us about this tight end group, because I think it seems like every year, like there's always a name or two that we go, that's the veteran coming back. But who are some guys in your group that Coach Clark would be excited about that you watch and you go, man, those guys are going to be playing for a long time here at BYU?
Yeah, obviously we have Mason Wake, fullback, coming back. Obviously, just as experienced as me, we came in at the same time, and so we've been playing for 4 years together. And so, yeah, Mason's coming back, and then Ethan Erickson caught a touchdown last year against Utah State. We're obviously super, everyone's excited about him because he's a long, lengthy, good route runner, fast. He's a good player. And then some of the younger guys, Anthony Olson, he's a stud out of Olympus High School, total basketball player. So a little raw coming in, but now he's starting to get his football legs, and he's starting to play super well, and we're excited to see him in the future. And then Nathan Coleman, he's looking great. He just came in for spring ball, and he's killing it, and it doesn't look like he has he doesn't look like he's straight out of high school. He's playing really well. And so, and then Mason Fakahua moved from running back to fullback, and he's been doing great too. And so I love these guys. I'm really excited about all of them. And they seem like, you know, they're dedicated. They're really willing to work. So
Isaac, we're looking forward to the rest of the spring. I'm glad that this spring game is also open to the public for everybody to be able to get excited about this thing. That'll be really fun, because in the past, it just, you know, either weather or just going, nah, we're not going to open it up for everybody to see. I think fans are going to be super excited going to the Big 12, going to that first spring game. Thanks for hanging out with us today, man. We appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me. Have a good weekend.
There you go, Isaac Rex. Nice enough to join us from Provo after practice today. That guy, he's just one of these dudes who is part of this like new class of tight ends, right? But he's 6'6", you know, 235, 240, and he just catches everything. And that ankle injury was pretty devastating, but see how he came back from that thing was awesome. And so I love that Isaac Rex is back again playing another year for BYU. So appreciate him joining us on the program. Are you a business owner? You've got better things to do than just job hunt, scramble to find the next great hire. So let Spherion Staffing and Recruiting do it for you. Visit them online, SpherionUtah.com/Utah. That's Spherion.com/Utah. Find it today. Let's take a break. We're at the Warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West in Salt Lake City. All this weekend, Tom is rolling out some incredible deals. Here are the rest of them when we come back. He's got even more for us. So if you're thinking about getting in a new mattress into your home, sleeping better, throwing that one out that has a ton of dust mites in it and all that dead skin, you didn't want to hear that. You don't want that. You don't want to be breathing that stuff in. Get yourself a new mattress, and it all starts here at the Warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West. Traffic coming up next, so listen to what the slowdowns are, and then come right back, and we'll get with you, and we'll chat a little bit more about I want you to hear a couple of things from Jamal Williams' first press conference, Scott.
Can't wait.
He just gets more and more wild every year. It's great. All right, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone. We were just having a chat with Tom here at the Warehouse. Tom asked a question of Scott, and I'm interested too. The quarterback is always going to be the highest paid. And then what is it by position group after that?
Probably an edge rusher, a left tackle, wide receivers, corner, and then you're going to get a running back. Maybe even a tight end above a running back.
Yeah.
Offensive line positions are, you know, typically it was like, you know, you'd have a wide receiver maybe, but it was quarterback, running back, depending on who the running back was. I mean,
yeah,
you know, and Emmitt Smith is gonna get paid a lot. Barry Sanders is gonna get paid a lot.
Yep. So it goes like this. The hierarchy goes like this, Tom. Quarterback, highest paid. Interior defensive lineman Aaron Donald was the highest paid non-quarterback in the league last year at $31.8 million. For a defensive tackle, dude.
But he's an oddity.
No, he's very special.
I mean, he's a pass rushing interior defensive right. line, which is huge.
Highest paid wide receiver was Tyreek Hill, $30 million for the Dolphins. Edge rusher T.J. Watt, $28 million. 49ers Trent Williams, offensive lineman, $23 million. Corner at $21 million for the Packers. Colts' linebacker Darius Leonard was $19.7 million. Running back is, it's like McCaffrey is really, really good, and he's $16 million.
$16 million.
He's getting half of what a good wide receiver gets.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. It's crazy to think how that market's changed so much. Speaking of money.
How about kicker? How much does a kicker?
Kicker, Matt Gay, he set the thing.
$5 million a year.
Matt Gay is the highest paid kicker in the history of the league. Can you believe that? Kid out of Orem.
So how much is Jamal getting?
Jamal just signed his contract. Very, very good question for the.
I'll bet it's not $1 million a year.
No.
Maybe not. Nine, six.
I've got it for you. He signed a 3-year, $12 million contract.
So $4 million a year.
$4
million. Is that what you said? Yeah. Three years, $12 million, $4 million a year. He can earn up to another $2 million a year. So it could
be, he has some plateau that stuff. He reaches.
And think about it. That's a really good deal for a guy like Jamal Williams.
Yeah.
The guy scored 17 touchdowns last year. And
yeah,
so you're getting him on the cheap, and you need to because you just paid $150 million for freaking Derek Carr for the same amount of time. I guess 1 year more,
oh
but
my
still.
Gosh. I don't understand.
It's
I know
10
I'm mad
times
at my
more.
Parents. They're just like, why did you born me now? Why don't you wait for like a decade
you
or
you could have birthed
20.
Me even 20
me
years
too,
later.
Too soon.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about you.
You should.
I'm worried about you for a lot of other things. It's
you're
not
my,
that
you're my buddy. I know that if I said, Scott, I need your help,
you'd be
come
there.
Running.
I absolutely.
Would. No question.
Let me play a couple of clips from Jamal's opening press conference with the Saints. Here's what he first of all rolled out because he can't be Jamal Williams and not talk about Pokemon. Here's what he did.
So it's basically a cat. This is how they start off, though. But Eevee can, like, evolve into, like, 8 different types of Pokemon, basically. So, but Eevee, though. E-E-V-E-E.
Okay, this is the pirate. This is the reincarnation.
This is
of,
a guy trying
Mike
to
Leash.
Deflect. Yes.
Yes, he's just like, let's talk about Pokemon. Pokemon?
Somebody did say Pokemon. Somebody did say Pokemon. He goes, don't say Pokemon. Man. He got all mad about it. It's Pokemon.
So that, I'm just impressed that he could spell the name. And quite frankly, I don't even know if he got it right.
Write this down. No, he's doing it because he's like, I dare you to put this in print. E-E-V-E-E. Eevee. Now, when it evolves, ooh, watch out.
Ooh.
Here's what he had to say about matching back up with his old college quarterback, Taysom Hill, down at New Orleans.
Taysom? Oh, I can't wait to mess with him. It's been too long now, so I can't wait to mess with him. Don't worry.
It's like, is it going to be fun seeing him again? I'm going to mess with his head.
You know, it's,
screw around
it's,
with this guy.
It's really fun to actually see guys that you had interaction with in college.
And then like, you see him playing again in the pros.
And to be on the same team,
cool.
It's kind of a fun – it's fun thing. And quite frankly, even – you know, I know when I played in the NFL, it was even guys that like I ran into a lot of BYU guys. You know, I mean, there weren't a lot of Utah guys in the NFL at the time, but you know, running into Jason Buck and playing against him and Chad Lewis when he was actually with the Rams at the time
prior to the Eagles.
Yeah, before he went to the Eagles, and so just you know Lee Johnson, you know, I'd run into Lee Johnson and just some other guys. Todd Christensen used to he was broadcasting at the time.
Sure.
He'd broadcast some of our games, so we'd hang out with him on a Saturday morning in our walkthrough. And that is, it's a fun time to see guys from kind of your college days.
Tom Curl is hosting us today. Tom, I mean, I've interviewed both those guys in the same room a bunch of times. It's going to be fun to watch those dudes play again. So,
did you say Pokemon or Pokemon?
Pokemon. Yeah, Pokemon. My kids have pictures with Jamal when he was with the Packers at first. And he's got his grills in, you know, and my kids were like, and my younger son goes, can I try those on? And he's like, no, man, these are my teeth. So, no, you can't try them on. Tom, what deals we have this weekend? We're rolling out crazy stuff. Let's keep it going.
I kind of gave a teaser.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you did.
I did. I kind of gave a teaser last break about the Scott Mitchell.
Yes, Alex Carey.
Alex Carey deal of the day.
Is it time for it right now?
It's time.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know what we do for upholstery.
Of course.
And for Ashley Furniture as the deal of the day. What is it the best we've ever done?
Ooh. 200.
2,000, I would say.
2,000?
What discount?
20%.
Oh, the 20%.
Oh, yeah.
20%. That's not good enough.
No.
Okay.
This is the St. Patty's.
Yeah.
I need to get some green.
Yes.
Oh.
Because I got to pay for stuff that's already here.
Yes. You need some green.
You have a lot of leprechauns you pay to
25% off.
25%?
Oh.
Any upholstery in stock.
Oh.
What about this right here? What about this giant sectional right here?
20.
Really? 25% off.
5% off.
I like the angle of that.
I do too. I like that little special. It's like a. It's almost like.
Because
it's called a cuddler.
It's called a cuddler?
Yep.
Yeah,
or for me, it's just a one. It's just a regular size seat.
It's a onesie.
It's for me to cuddle with myself.
It's deep, so it's kind of like having a chaise.
It's cool.
And so you can sit there, and your sweetheart can sit next to you because it's on an angle. Her legs can go over your legs, so she gets your warmth.
That's actually a good plan. This couch is set up for
about a million people
for a good weekend.
Eight-person couch.
Nice. Yeah.
It's $4,000 couch. We have it marked $2,199 is our boom.
Nice.
Boom.
And you're doing 25% off of that?
Deca-boom.
Deca-boom.
Only if you mention you guys.
Okay.
25%
Mention Unrivaled. So you get – now you do the math way better than we do. So that's $440 bucks off then.
Yep.
That's insane. That is crazy. That's a boom deal. Okay, what else?
That's a Deca-boom.
That's a Deca-boom.
Deca-boom.
I don't want to say all the booms, but just say it's a 10-time boom, okay?
Deca-boom. Now – I've got sectionals. I've got some sectionals that we're going to do a little bit better than 20% off.
Okay.
I've got some 25% off. I've got some sectionals that are normally $17.99. I'm going to do them at $9.99.
Boom.
Boom.
Nice.
That's nuts.
That's nuts, nuts.
Okay.
I have this is a deal, a queen bed. Headboard, footboard rails, a dresser, a nightstand, a box spring, and a beauty rest. Encore mattress.
Okay.
They're $3,300 online.
Jeez.
That's the sale price, $3,300.
Awesome.
I'm going to do the whole deal. This is a sit-down, Scott.
I'm sitting.
$999.
Oh, boom.
Boom.
It's a bedroom set.
Are we deca-boom in that one?
That's a deca.
That's a crazy one.
Deca-boom.
Deca-boom.
I think like that's one of the Pokemon characters.
Yeah, deca-boom.
Deca-boom.
Hey,
how do you spell
my
it?
Grandson, Donnie, is like a Pokemon
like an expert.
No, like knowledge.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Total expert.
And he is definitely a deca-boom.
I love it. Okay.
Deca-boom.
Deca-boom.
Last but not least.
One more. Okay.
Any dining, 30% off.
That's boom. Crazy.
Boom, boom,
4
boom.
Days only.
Okay.
Oh.
4 days only.
So they walk into the showroom. They see the dining sets back there. Whatever number they see, that boom number, take 30% off of that?
30%
off.
That's
wild.
It's okay. Nuts. But listen, I'm going to do something we can't do. Don't tell my other
half. I won't.
Nope.
We're going to do deliveries for half price.
Boom.
That's
and
great.
We can't do a free delivery anymore because we have an insurance issue that has to be paid for. And I'm giving stuff away, but half price is unheard of.
Insane.
Right now.
Boom.
Take advantage. Let me tell you where it is. 1825 South, 300 West here in Salt Lake City. Tom, we appreciate it. We'll come back. We'll chat with Tom again. Got a couple more times to be able to jam with Tom on more deals. All that means is more deals. Come down to Salt Lake City. Come up to Salt Lake City. It's well worth it. Just east of the Costco here in South Salt Lake, north of the Sam's Club. And it's easy to find right here, 1825 South, 300 West in Salt Lake City. We'll come back. More to go. We've just got tons to be able to jam in the last little bit on the show here. So stay with us, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. So.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It is Unrivaled 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Your weekend of college basketball continues. You can hear all the Westwood One coverage over on the 1280 signal. And you can always get the rest of the regular programming over here. Jeremy, how'd your how'd your Iona Gales do up against my Final Four bound UConn Huskies? I didn't see the final.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, it's unfortunate you missed them. Sorry, man.
What happened?
UConn won comfortably.
Okay,
they pulled a Iona pulled what the Gauchos did this morning with Baylor, keeping it close, didn't get blown out by about 15.
Didn't I say
15,
something
20?
About that during the halftime?
I don't recall now.
Like, oh, my Iona Gales. School I got kicked out of for running an illegal gambling ring. Was it illegal, though? Was it illegal? If no one ever found out about it, it would have been illegal. So, there you go.
Fair points.
I'm hassling Jeremy because he started talking Iona trash during the – you don't get a lot of Iona trash talk during the afternoons, but you do during the the NCAA tournament.
I did pick UConn for what it's worth, just saying. I did not pick the Gales to win.
Okay, so you didn't actually have that the guts to go with your former school.
I'm not a dummy, come on.
Scott, you and I keep
winning.
We just keep increasing our unrivaled extending our unrivaled lead in the KSL Sports Burt Brothers bracket mayhem over on KSLSports.com.
Well, I hope I can go into the weekend as a champion. Because after the weekend,
yeah,
it's going to get ugly.
You might actually win the weekend. Yeah. I mean, a handful of games left here. So Scott's got 42 points. I have 40. And then Kyle Ireland from our locals in the NFL insider for KSL Sports is in third place. Michelle Botkin tied with Mitch Harper and our producer Jeremy Moss for fourth. So go compare your bracket to everybody else from the KSL Sports Zone and across the KSL Sports platforms. So, all right, let's jump in here. It's another start to another hour, and that means we're jumping in to the cut right here. And so let's go ahead and do it. Here we go.
The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut and our program graciously sponsored by the folks at G2G Bars. G2G Bars, unmatched taste for a protein bar. You don't want to miss it. The G2G Bar is fantastic. Packed with protein, tastes amazing. It's in the refrigerated section at your Associated Foods, Costco, Holiday Oil, and Maverick because it's additive and preservative free. So there you go. Check it out today. And Trajan Wealth. Call your local trusted financial fiduciaries, 801-899-7600. Or you can visit their website, TrajanWealth.com. Okay. Scott, Utah football starting up next week. Their spring football. BYU's been at it for a couple weeks here.
Yep.
Utah will get into it. And then they'll have, like, immediately a week off for,
of course.
You know, from you need a break after a week. Then they jump right back in again, but the questions that you want answered is somebody who's going to be in the booth next year calling these games and with your binoculars out, the stuff that you wrapped up the year with last year as the Utes obviously ran out of gas and you have an injured quarterback in that Rose Bowl game and you go, man, you know what? How can you keep coming back and winning a Pac-12 championship? The Utes feel like they have another shot because of the returning personnel and, you know, not the least of which is their veteran quarterback, Cam Rising, who's coming in. But where's he at injury-wise? This is a guy who's not even going to participate in spring.
No, he's not. And, you know, as far as spring football goes, it really is about, to me, just getting your young, you know, well, not to me, it's what the coaches say. So it is what it is. It's about getting your young guys opportunities to get reps and develop, and it's about finding out who you have and who you don't have so that you can go into the transfer portal. You know, the Utes were able to get Mo Diabate a year ago, and he turned out to be a help to the team. But it's really important to find out what they don't have, and there really aren't a lot of spots where they don't have. I mean, there's they're loaded, really, at pretty much every position. The challenge, though, so if Utah's really going to have a year, if they're really going to have a shot to, you know, let's say take it to another level and really compete, this is the last year of a four-team college football playoffs, they've got to have Cam Rising. And I just am having a hard time seeing him being ready. Maybe he's ready, but is he really at 100% going into that non-conference? Because you've got Florida, and then you got Baylor. I mean, right out of the gates. That's hard. That's not even close to what's hard for Utah this year. I mean, it's not. I mean, you got to go to Washington
right.
to play a really good Washington team. And then guess where else you have to go? You have to go play USC in California. And if you don't think USC is going to be fired up about playing Utah after losing to them twice last year, in games I think that USC felt like they shouldn't have lost, at least the first game, I'll tell you, that in and of itself is a tough road, but then you have the rest of the conference. You're going to play Oregon. You're going to go to Oregon State. The schedule is tough for Utah. And if you're going to have any shot of winning the conference or even going to the college football playoffs, you got to have your quarterback healthy and playing at a high level. And I want to hope to see it, but I'm just telling you what I've just said is monumental task.
Do you think that, like, with the pressure of – or how much pressure is on a team that has just come off of back-to-back Pac-12 championships? If it's USC, they always have that pressure. It doesn't matter what year it is. But if it's Utah, like, they just won back-to-back Pac-12 titles, and people still somehow sort of put them a little bit further down the list on how they're going to perform. It's exactly where Kyle Whittingham wants to be.
Yeah, I don't – of course. And, I think Utah – probably is the most complete team, again, in the Pac-12. I mean, from top to bottom, their roster on both sides of the ball, they're better than solid. I mean, they could have a really top-flight elite defense this coming year. They're returning so much talent, so much experience. and gaining. You know, they're going to gain a few guys. They're going to be better at the linebacker position. They're going to be better at the safety position and the corner position. They're going to be better at the defensive front. I mean, they just are, and they're deep. And you need depth to get through a season, and because you're going to have attrition no matter what. And depth is just that's the key to having success. I think it's the number one key to having success in the Pac-12, or really in college football in general, or any football. Really.
Do you think Utah goes into the? I mean, it's so hard with going into the portal because, I mean, they'll have the same window as everybody else, and they'll be smart about picking up guys or not. Excuse me, and. One of the things that I think is fascinating about this is, I mean, you mentioned Mo Diabate, who by the end of the year, I think we went, that guy, he was pretty solid.
Yeah.
But, like, when guys come over and we just heap praise on him before knowing much about him, that's a hard expectation to have for a guy.
You know who else was really good like that? Gabe Reed.
I'll add another one.
But it took him a minute.
I'll add somebody else who took a minute and was not a veteran was Lander Barton.
Yeah,
and I think people kind of wrote him off after that first game. They go, "Oh, he's young; he didn't have." But they ended up being the freshman of the year in the Pac-12. Yeah. And so, there are guys coming back who have.
Lander Barton will be a different player this year, just because he's had that year of experience.
That's pretty exciting, isn't it?
He's just going to walk into it just so much more confident, yeah. and stronger. You know, you grow and your body matures, and you're better capable of handling things. I'm just telling you, this Utah defense has the makings of being a pretty elite defense. And that's, you know, here's what I think will happen. Okay. I don't think Cam Rising will be ready for the start of the season. I want him to, believe me. I really do. I think Nate Johnson is a real talent, and I think he's on par with the other elite quarterbacks in the Pac-12. And I would not be surprised if he comes out of it. And, what you're going to have with him is you're going to have a very talented guy who's probably going to run around a lot more. Until he gets comfortable, you know, throwing the ball in the pocket. But Utah can do a lot of different things with their personnel offensively, including running. So they can run, they can play action, they can move him around in the pocket, get him comfortable where he's not just sitting in the pocket and having to make decisions. You know, that's hard for young guys to feel comfortable in there. But I would not be surprised if you saw Nate Johnson playing a lot for Utah this year.
So I was looking at
And that gives him a chance. He's inexperienced, but, you know, it gives him a chance.
Utah is always listed as, like, a dark horse. It doesn't matter, like,
right, yeah.
The two-time Pac-12 champions returning, you know, their veteran quarterback, and they're a dark horse, you know, for, you know, winning the Pac-12 championship. Right now, their odds are fourth best behind USC, Washington, and I think that they're actually tied with Oregon State.
Okay, you can only have one loss on the season, so you're going to have to win at Washington.
You're talking about Pac-12 play.
If you're in the Pac-12, you can have one loss and make the college football playoffs, This list is their dark horse for the semifinal.
Yes,
for the college football. Right. So you've got to go through the entire conference. Only lose one game. That includes your non-conference, and they play two Power 5 teams, plus your conference championship. So you're going to play the second or the best record in your conference to go on. And I think Utah's a deep enough and a mature enough team to do that if they have a healthy Cam Rising.
The dark horse talk about them being, you know, the possibility of them going to the college football playoff, is that a total beyond, you know, pipe dream or – that's something that you kind of expect as a fan of following this Utah team as you go. You've got to have high expectations. Kyle Whittingham doesn't aim for, you know, being tied for the best record in the Pac-12 to go to the Pac-12 championship game. He wants to do even more. The guy is, you know, coming up on what could be the last few seasons for him in his career. He knows that, and he knows he's got to, you know, that window closes very, very quickly in college. When it comes to trying to be as good as anybody else in the country.
I have to believe, though, you get through this year and you get into some really exciting opportunities for the expanded college football playoffs. You get into something that could be really fun. However it, you know, ends up, if those first round games are home games, or if you, you know, or if you expand the bowls and use them those as sites, neutral sites,
sure.
for whatever. But it just really gets the postseason so exciting, And if you're a guy like Kyle Whittingham, I got to believe you might want to stick around for that. If you're going to be in a conference with 10 teams, you've got a better opportunity. You may get a couple of teams in it, even with a champion, because you're kind of doing what the SEC does intentionally. You're just doing it because you have fewer numbers, and that's not playing as many conference games. So I think there's a real possibility of Utah and really the Pac-12 having representation and maybe even significant representation in expanded playoffs. And this year is a hard year. It's really because everyone's just going to be looking for that new playoff expansion, and it's like, fine, let's just get through this idiocy.
That's a journey of stupidity right there.
Yes.
Well, I do think that this is one of those things that we, you know, are obviously we recalibrate. When you find out if Cam Rising might not be able to make it or can for that Florida game, like you said, right out of the gate, the most eyeballs on a Utah game at Rice-Eccles Stadium since when? I'm saying outside of the Pac-12, it's got to be that Michigan game. Harbaugh came to town.
Oh, Evan Jett.
And so this one has a little bit of that feel where it's like on an odd day of the week. That was a Thursday game, I think.
And it's going to be on a Thursday.
Which I think that one was.
And it's going to be full of fans, standing room only.
Okay. All right, there you go.
I wouldn't be surprised if it might be the most attended game in Utah history.
My favorite – I feel like you have inside information on that. My favorite thing is when Scott gets all the phone calls like a month before. You know, people will be like, hey, yeah, how about that Florida game? People are already hitting him up now. But my favorite is when it's like 2 days before. And someone will go, hey, Scott, Bob Jones here. We went to high school together. And Scott will play the voicemail for me. And just looking to see if maybe he had a couple tickets to Florida game. Remember I helped you guys move that couch back in 1984? Anyway, I hope all's well. Love those tickets to Florida. Bye. Like, that's – any of the people who leave you a voice message on trying to get tickets, we have to play it. We'll leave their name out, but I want to play them on the air.
Okay.
Because Scott gets hit up big time.
Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback. The other guy on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Fascinating. Fascinating stuff, Scott Mitchell. Welcome back. Now, hold on. I'm going to give you credit where credit's due. Scott has picked 21 out of the 24 games so far.
Yeah, baby.
That's not freaking bad at all.
I'm 100% today.
You're 100% today?
Yep. Yesterday was when I had my three downer games.
So Scott's 21 for 24. Big one is that his national champion, Arizona, was eliminated. That was one of his bad picks. I'm 20 for 24. I'm currently second out of the 936 that are doing it here locally.
Who's number one?
Yeah, it's you.
Oh.
Yeah, it's you. So Scott and I are having an unseasoned successful push right here a day and a half through the conference tournament or through the NCAA tournament. So we'll keep you updated. You can go check it out at kslsports.com and kind of compare your bracket to ours, and we'd love that. All right, NFL Roundup goes like this. Scott, we roll out some of the best stories that come to the NFL. Now, the Packers are apparently wanting a first-round draft pick and more for Aaron Rodgers, and I said, that's pretty reasonable to me. And you, we're sitting in our pre-show meeting, and you were like, you are not going to get a first-round draft pick for Aaron Rodgers. And I went, it's Aaron freaking Rodgers. He's a Hall of Famer. He still has it. He had his worst year last year than he's had in, like, I think 12 or 13 years, they said. And he was still 28 touchdowns, 12 picks, 3,700 yards, completed 65% of the passes. A bad year for him is why guys are paying quarterbacks $40 million. Right. And I think if you get 3 years out of him, it's worth getting that first-round draft pick.
It's not worth it.
How is a first-round draft pick worth that much?
It's not, because a first-round draft choice typically can be like a long-term franchise player for you, regardless of what position it is. The Jets are going to have a pretty decent pick in that first round. So you're basically saying, we're going to give you Aaron Rodgers –
who, if you picked up Tom Rogers, that'd be Tom a bad Rogers. Deal. Yeah.
Daryl Popcorn Rogers, he's a former Utah player, pretty good. But there's no way. The only reason the Green Bay Packers are asking for a first-round draft choice for Aaron Rodgers is because the Jets are acting desperate. The Jets want him so bad. And they've tipped their hand, and they've made it be known. And you know, think of Tom Brady. Tom Brady's like, you know, well, first of all, Belichick goes, you know, he's kind of out of here, blah blah blah. So there's, you know, if they all would have just played it cool, they would have just, you know, said, okay, you're out the door, whatever. But the Jets really want and probably really need Aaron Rodgers. So guess what? Packers have the leverage. It's what I've been saying all week long, and they're going to squeeze, and this thing probably is going to go out for a while to see who's going to play chicken and just to see how long, because the Packers don't have to do anything for quite some time, so they're in the driver's seat on this, and then all of a sudden the Jets go, well, we got to get someone in here because now Derek Carr's gone, Jimmy Garoppolo's gone, there aren't a lot of choices left for. The Jets, you know, they basically said we put all our eggs in this basket, and they're probably going to have to pay for it in a lot of ways. They'd be foolish to give up a first round draft choice.
I could see this, the Aaron Rodgers situation. I could really see it just not happening.
It's possible.
And Alan Lazard today, the wideout that he had in Green Bay, and one of the names on the now infamous list of wish list people that he wanted in New York if he were to become a Jet. Alan Lazard said, it feels so good knowing that Aaron Rodgers is going to be my quarterback again. Settle down, dude. Those are the types of things you say.
It feels like Aaron Rodgers is a pain in the butt. Like, it really does. It feels like he's a
bit.
And so, like, people publicly will go, oh, we love this guy. He's great. He's wonderful. But there are probably people in the organization, whomever it might be, you know, across the organization, you know what they say? Man, I hope they get rid of that guy. He's difficult.
Yeah.
He's moody. He's this. He's whiny. He's all of these things. And you know what? He just, so I think the Packers want him gone. I think a lot of people in the organization want him gone. But I think they're going to just try to make it as
advantageous for them as possible.
At 1,000%. 1,000%.
So when you say stuff like that, Alan Lazard, like, I don't know. Those are the types of things that I go, I don't know. I could see this thing not happening.
Yeah.
And as much as people are like, can't wait, I saw people, you know, burning Aaron Rodgers jerseys. I saw people making Aaron Rodgers jerseys with you know, their own, basically getting like somebody to come in and make an Aaron Rodgers Jets jersey for them to start wearing around. And like, that's the kind of stuff is bad juju, man. You can't do that.
No.
It's gonna get ripped out from
under. The deal isn't done until it's done.
Listen, and if there's a weirdo who's going to ruin it, it's freaking Aaron Rodgers. Right?
Possibly.
Mean, come on.
Yeah.
Hey, guess who's not a bunch of weirdos? The Green Bay Packers.
No, they're probably – and I'll bet Aaron Rodgers is fuming right now because he's a guy that likes to control the narrative.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have any control, and he doesn't because the Green Bay Packers have finally said, we – are done with Aaron Rodgers. Like we've passed that point in the relationship, so we're moving on from him. Now,
and guess what?
We're not in any hurry to do it. So anything you say, bad, whatever, Aaron Rodgers. Anything you try to punt, stunt, you try to pull, anything you try to go out in the media and say, man, you know, I wish they would have been more upfront with me, and it's this and that, whatever. None of it is going to make a difference whatsoever in the way the Packers handle this.
You know what Aaron Rodgers is not? Is bigger than the Green Bay Packers either.
No.
Like, you're Aaron Rodgers, that's great, but you are not bigger than the Green Bay Packers. So.
Well, he was going to go in the Hall of Fame.
As a Packer.
As, you know, as a Packer.
And he's going to the Packer Hall of Fame, too.
That was pretty bold.
Okay, let's take another break here. When we return, we have our two-minute drill. I've got a lot of fun things to roll out still in our two-minute drill, including Dylan Brooks, everybody's favorite villain. He's finally getting to the point, I think, now that even people who like a villain are starting to dislike Dylan Brooks. He's going past villain and going straight to just a bad dude. That's all next. Stay with us, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented baby, by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All righty, fans, welcome back. It is Unrivaled 97.5 VKSL Sports Zone. Of course, we amuse ourselves during the break.
Oh my gosh.
This is kind of unfair.
No, it is. No, listen, okay.
It's absolutely hilarious.
I'll just tell you what it is. You have to go on Twitter. If you want to laugh your butt off, go on Twitter and find this this account. It's called Caricature Artist Roasting People in the Streets. Now, a caricature artist is, you have to be willing to put up with the fact that they are going to not necessarily accentuate your best features, especially if the whole thing is they're going to roast you. And the people that they roast, I mean, it's beyond mean.
Yeah.
He nails it, yeah. And it's beyond mean. And to those people's credit, they are extremely, they've been extremely nice about it. I mean, they were cool about laughing along with it, but who knows how much they actually, like, laughed about it. Unless they went home and just cried themselves to sleep.
Yes.
Speaking of crying myself to sleep tonight, I'm not going to, because you know why? Scott and I are in first and second place in our NCAA.
That's
practice.
Right. That's right.
You're going to the weekend, at least at the end of our show. Stop it, Jeremy. Hey, let's have this.
Going into the weekend, a winner. That's all.
And listen,
I want
if
right
we were
now.
Doing it by shows, despite Jeremy's bad efforts, we'd still be at the top of the podium.
Hey, I'm in fourth.
Well, Lloyd is way, way down.
I am in
fourth
overall.
I don't
overall.
Even think everybody's listed on there. You're fourth overall? Okay. It's because there's 19 people in fourth place with the same exact bad numbers.
Like three.
Okay. All right. 2-minute drill. Check out the bold new lineup of Jerry Seiner Cadillacs today. Definitely not your grandpa's Cadillac. Check it out. Go to Jerry Seiner Cadillac and test drive a new or used Cadillac. Jerry Seiner Cadillac. Dylan Brooks, like I said, I don't even think – at this point, I think his mom is probably not appreciative of her own son. He's been fined $35,000 after the incident that he had where he went off of the court and went kind of into the crowd. You know when guys go into the crowd, and most of the time they're – oh, you know, they try to jump over guys or they're – you know, sometimes those guys get hit hard, though. Dylan Brooks went into a cameraman who was sitting on the side court, and definitely as he got to him, kind of runs into him and definitely shoves the guy down into the ground. He's been fined $35,000. I officially can't stand Dylan Brooks. I didn't like him. When he played in that playoff series against the Jazz, the Memphis Grizzlies came to town, I hated that cat then. And my hate for that guy keeps growing. There's no room in my heart for a Dylan Brooks
character.
Well,
what's hard about it is there are some people that play up to the character. So a Bill Laimbeer kind of, he played the bad boy, right?
Yes.
And then when you have someone who just is a bad character, you know, and you can just see it. He's just a bad character. And there's no place for it anywhere. And it's just old and it's worn out. And, you know, a leopard's not going to lose his spots. He'll just continue to show who he is. And it'll continue to be a bad thing for him.
I watched that video and I was
okay, here's the one I got to share with
you. Yeah, what do you have?
So Edwin Diaz, the Mets' he's their closer.
Yeah,
had a phenomenal season last year. He just signed a $100 million,
not bad,
contract. However, in the World Baseball Classic, after winning
Team Puerto Rico, right?
Yes, he actually gets up to celebrate and tears his patella tendon, which will be 8 months of recovery.
He's going to miss
the entire season.
This is what makes these coaches go nuts and GMs go nuts, right?
And
they sign up to play in the World Baseball Classic, has nothing to do with their actual team. Major League Baseball money is guaranteed money. And he's going to get it. So Edwin Diaz, I hope he recovers 100%. So here's hoping.
Yeah, sad deal.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, welcome back. It's Unrivaled. It is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for being with us on a Friday afternoon. I hope you got home safely. I hope the traffic wasn't too bad. I had a bad one yesterday. It took me 45 minutes on a 15-minute drive normally. 45 minutes.
I had one of those this week.
It's bad, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, we love that you're listening to the show. If you miss any part of the program, you can always download the podcast wherever podcasts are found. I want to talk about goats for a minute, Scott.
Okay.
Actually, a picture popped up the other day on my phone, and my kids are like, remember this? And I forgot the junior high bias rented out. The school district, Salt Lake School District, rented out like a ton of goats, and they fence them in on this hill they wanted to get all the vegetation off of.
Oh, coolest
weekend!
Good idea.
Oh, it was coolest weekend.
Oh, that'd be fun.
My kids. So they have these people that kind of hang out with them for those few days, and it was a weekend. And my kids walked over and just checked out those goats eating all the vegetation, and it took it out, man. I said, "How long is it going to take this area?" He goes, "Yeah, 2 days." I was like, "What?
Really?"
Oh, it was a huge amount of brush and these. He put like you know, and so he decided.
Didn't in the olden days they'd put the goat on top of the house? They have the sod on the top.
Yeah, and so they go.
Go to eat.
So he's like, "Yeah, this is a 7-goat job right here. Like, this is one we can get done pretty quick." I want to talk about actual goats. No, not actual goats. Fake goats. Tom Brady as the goat. Tom Brady says all the rumors that are flying around, don't believe any of them. He's ready to be a dad. Now, does anybody want to tell him he's actually been a dad for 12 years? Or 14 years, sorry. Anybody want to tell him that?
Yeah, I will just tell him this. Like, getting it out of your system, like, it is not going to leave.
It's not easy.
No.
Do you think he's working out, but he's still throwing some footballs? Like just in case.
It's like decades. Oh.
Just in case. I gotta keep myself
Tom Brady
ready.
Could roll out. Yeah.
You think he'd be – oh, come on. Well, now that's not a guy – he's already in shape.
Right.
But what do you have to do if you're him to actually like get in game shape?
I'll bet he'd surprise himself and go, "Wow, taking a little bit of time off has kind of rejuvenated me a little bit as far as the intensity of the workouts."
Okay.
Yeah, he's
all right. He wants to be
eats
a dad.
Well. I'm sure he stays fit, so he's
let good. Him be a dad. Yeah. Okay. For Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery, Jeremy hitting the buttons back in Salt Lake. We want to thank the warehouse for having us. We'll be back on Monday, so don't you worry. We'll be back then. 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, "You need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us."
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.